Good to be here this morning. And if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 32 this morning. Genesis chapter 32. And it's a joy to be here this morning. A lot of memories in this church myself. Just about 6 years ago, I surrendered to preach right over there. And I praise the Lord for that. And I appreciate this church. Y'all mean a lot to me. And if it wasn't for this church, I don't know where I'd be today. I mean that. And I appreciate Brother Dr. Stewart. I appreciate him so much. He's my mentor and my hero. And he still is my hero. I love him to death. And I appreciate his heritage here. But I sure am thankful for these two men right here as well. Ever since Dr. Stewart stepped off the scene, Pastor Shelton has took me under his wing and pretty much been the same thing Dr. Stewart was to me. And I appreciate that. Y'all have a wonderful pastor, wonderful assistant pastor, and I love both these men to death. And it's a privilege to be here this morning. And I thank you. I know that y'all could have had a lot better preachers this morning than me, but I appreciate y'all scrubbing the bottom of the barrel every once in a while and getting somebody like me in here. Amen. So Genesis chapter 32, and I'll quit rambling this morning. Genesis chapter 32, and it's a joy to be here. And just pray for us this morning, if you would. I've kind of dealt with this message, felt like this was the Lord's will. It's far from the homecoming message that you're probably used to, or whatever a homecoming message is. I don't know. Me and Pastor Shelton was talking about that a minute ago, but just want to follow the Lord this morning. So Genesis chapter 32, and we'll begin reading around verse number 24, and after we read this, you may be seated in just a moment. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, the Bible said, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I just want to ask you to pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, one more time for the privilege, Lord, to stand behind your pulpit, God. Do our best to preach what you've laid on our heart. Lord, I sure need your touch this morning, God. Lord, these people don't need to see me. These people don't need to see anything that I can do this morning. But, oh, I want them to see God high and lifted up this morning. And I pray for just a little while. Lord, would you just touch my voice? Would you give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought this morning, God? And Lord, I really don't need much of an outline this morning, but I sure pray for an inline connection with heaven this morning. God, I need your touch this morning. I pray you'd enter me of myself this morning. I pray you'd fill me with yourself, God. I pray you'd take this message, God, and I pray the Holy Ghost of God might use it to speak to every heart in this congregation today. There may be one sitting here, God, Lord, they're unsaved. They don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray you deal with them this morning, God. Draw them unto the Holy Ghost conviction. Let them come to an altar and get born again into the family of God. But I pray whatever we've walked in here with this morning, I pray we learn that we can trust you. I pray we just rely on you this morning, God. I pray you'd edify and encourage your people this morning. Lord, we sure need your touch. And God, I just want to give you praise this morning already for the good spirit we felt in here. And I want to give you praise for what you're going to do now in the invitation in just a little while. I pray that it'd be fruitful, God. I pray your will be done now in this time. I don't want to say any more or any less, God, than exactly what you'd have said. Please take the word of God. Let it fall on good ground this morning, I pray, in the hearts of people. And Lord, we just want to tell you we love you this morning. And Lord, not unto us, oh Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we look here in Genesis chapter 32, probably a text that many of you know about or have read before, have heard, we're dealing with the subject and theme of a man called Jacob. And if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 25, you'll find where Jacob and Esau was born to a man named Isaac there. And as you begin to go from Genesis 25, even up to Genesis chapter 32 here, if you were to read that and study, and I just want to refresh your mind about it, Jacob's life here was an interesting one. I mean, Jacob's life, I mean, it had its ups and downs. I mean, it had days where, I mean, it seemed like it was rough. He had days, boy, it seemed good. I mean, his life was about like ours are. I mean, just a roller coaster a lot of times. I mean, there were times where he was sneaky. There were times where he connived and got his way. There were times where he schemed to get what he wanted. But there were other times where he was scared to death. I mean, he's running from Laban. He's running from Esau. I mean, his brother wants to kill him. I mean, all these things. I mean, Jacob's life between Genesis 25 and Genesis 32 is interesting, to say the least. And you know, as we get to Genesis chapter 32 here, we find that Jacob here is wrestling with his angel. We find that Jacob is wrestling with none other than God himself. And here we see in this picture here, Jacob just wrestling. And you know, I begin to think about this, and as I began to read through Genesis here, and as I got to chapter 32, I thought, boy, here's Jacob wrestling with God. But then I backed up and said, you know, in reality, Jacob's been wrestling with God the whole time. I mean, through the whole life of Jacob, he's wrestled with God. I mean, he's run in fear. I mean, he's done things. Let me just say this real quickly. Aren't you glad that even though we have failures, even though we mess up, even though we may have lied and done a lot of things, God don't look at our failures, but he looks at our faith. Aren't you glad for that this morning? A lot of people say, well, why did God love Jacob and not Esau? Why? You know, people ponder these things. I'm glad God looks at my faith this morning. I'm glad he don't look at my failures. Aren't you glad this morning your failures and your sin is under the blood this morning? And though we may fail God, he looks at our faith this morning. And that's why Jacob had God's blessings on him, because of his faith. He had faith in God when Esau didn't. He had faith in God. And even though Jacob's life was a wrestling match, even though Jacob's life was constantly wrestling with fear, wrestling with being scared, wrestling with these things here, boy, Jacob had faith. And I just began to think about that, and boy, I began to think about wrestling with things. You know, I want to preach more of a topical message this morning on what's wrong with wrestling with God. And I want you to understand this. I know the context of Scripture. I know what we're dealing with in Genesis 32. I realize this morning that really, and I'm not trying to take none out of context this morning, but Jacob's life is a life of wrestling against what God wants until chapter 32. And something breaks. You know, I started thinking about our life a lot of times is nothing but wrestling with what God wants in our life. It's nothing but wrestling against what God wants. You know, I began to think about that, and boy, we wrestle in so many different ways. I remember the day I was under Holy Ghost conviction, and I was wrestling with my salvation. How many of y'all remember that day? I mean, you was wrestling with whether or not you were saved or not. Listen, there may be someone sitting here this morning. You're wrestling with whether or not you've got it settled this morning or not. You're wrestling over yourself. I remember that day I was lost without God. I couldn't sleep at night. I was wrestling with whether or not I was where I was going when I die, but I'm glad for the day I got it settled. I'm glad for the day I got peace in my heart. I'm glad for the day I quit wrestling and said, Lord, I believe on you. I'm asking you to save me. And I trusted Jesus Christ by faith. Aren't you glad for that day you quit wrestling? Just say, God, I want to be saved. Trusted in my faith. Repented of your sin. Hey, some people out here in this world, they're wrestling with their salvation. There may be some sitting here this morning, you're wrestling with your salvation. I remember that day 6 years ago, I surrendered to preach right over here. And I want to say this place holds a special place in my heart, because there's been some rough days in the ministry.
But I remember what happened right there. I remember what happened right there. I remember wrestling with a call to preach. But thank God one day I just gave in. Thank God one day I just surrendered to Him. There may be some sitting here this morning, you're dealing with what God wants you to do with your life. I want to say, quit wrestling with God and just give in to what He wants you to do. The only way you're going to find peace this morning. I remember wrestling over what God wants me to do in service. I mean, there's been times and situations in my life I've wrestled over. There's been times in my life I didn't understand what God was doing in my life. I didn't know why in the world I'd face this trial. I didn't know why in the world this sickness had come. I didn't know why in the world this storm had all of a sudden come. You know, those disciples, they were in that boat there in Mark, I believe chapter 5. They didn't understand why that storm had come. They started beginning to wrestling. Well, Lord, why have you going to let us perish? They began to wrestle. Jesus is asleep in the boat. A lot of times you and I, we begin to wrestle when we face the storm. We begin to wonder, why in the world is this happening to me? Why is all this going on? We begin to wrestle what God's wanting to do. You know, but you know what? The truth about it is, God don't want us to wrestle. When we face situations, when we face storms, it may be this morning you're facing some sin in your life. You're wrestling with it. Just not willing to give it over to God. Just not willing to deal with it. Just wrestling with it. Not wanting to 100% surrender to God. Boy, there's a lot of times we wrestle with God in many ways. Some of you may be wrestling this morning. But I want to preach this morning for just a little while on what's wrong with wrestling with God. Because you see, I begin to evaluate some things and look at it scripture and just evaluate some things. And boy, God really has preached this message to me. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm far from perfect this morning. You're looking at a man that falls every day of my life. Listen, don't ever put me on a pedestal. I'm far from being there this morning. And I hope I'm amongst people this morning that's real this morning. Understand, listen, I didn't have to take my halo and wings off when I entered in the door. I'm far from that. But I want to say this morning, there's times in my life I've argued with God. There's times in my life I've got the place of saying, God, I don't understand why this is and this ain't right. But let me just say this and clarify this. God never does any wrong. Listen, God will always do right. There's one thing you can count on this morning. God's going to do right. And God is faithful. And God's ways are perfect. And God knows what He's doing this morning. And God is right all the time. If there's something wrong, it's us. It's not God. But you know, a lot of times our wrestling, a lot of times our wrestling turns into us arguing with God. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I've been studying a lot about prayer. And you know, a lot of times our prayer is nothing but us arguing with God. A lot of times our prayer life is nothing but arguing. A lot of times our prayer life begins to get off of what God wants and what we want. You see, God didn't institute prayer for us to change God's mind, but for God to change our mind. You see, God never instituted prayer as an access for us to argue over things we don't like in our life. God instituted prayer so you and I could seek the will of God and we could have the mind of God. A lot of people think prayer is just us communicating with God, and it is. Oh, but there's a much greater side of prayer. If you truly bow down before God and humble yourself and gain access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and you begin fellowshipping with Him, God will begin to change you. God will begin to change your desires. God will begin to change your mind on situations. And how many times we fail to take the privilege of prayer the way it needs to be? How many times do we fail how to truly seek God's will? You see, you and I, a lot of times we get the place where we meet an issue in our life. We hit a storm. We hit a situation. We hit a problem in our life. We hit something. All of a sudden, prayer is just an escape plan. Prayer is just an emergency, a response plan. It's just a plan of action for when something goes wrong. We fail to pray like we need to. We fail to take advantage of the privilege of prayer. Listen, I want to say this morning, the power in the church is prayer. A church wants power, there must be prayer. But I'm not talking about prayer where you and I just get out and say, well, this is all I want. And, you know, I mean, I'd love to have this. I'd love to have that. And, you know, I mean, Lord, just do this. Bless me if you can, blah, blah, and done. I'm talking about true fellowship with God. You know what our prayer life a lot of times is just us wrestling. It's just us arguing with God. And then all of a sudden when God don't answer it like we want to, we get aggravated. Oh, I mean, maybe I'm amongst people this morning. I ain't never been there before. I mean, there's times in my life where things didn't go my way and I began to argue, well, Lord, this ain't right. I've been faithful to you. Why would this happen to me? You know, thinking, oh, I'm going to change God's mind. You know, God didn't want me to change his mind. He wanted to change me. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Listen, God don't take us through storms for us to change God's mind. God takes us through things to change us. God don't take us through things in order that we might be mad at God and we might wrestle with him and we might argue with him and get aggravated and get upset and get angry and do all these things. Listen, God takes us through those things, not that we might argue, but that we might agree with him. You see what I'm saying this morning is this. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God's going to do right. And when we face these things in our life and look at it, Jacob's life, Jacob was constantly wrestling. Jacob was constantly saying, well, I'm not being done right. Jacob constantly had problems, and some things it was his fault and some things wasn't his fault. Some things he got himself into. Other things other people done him wrong. But through it all, listen, God don't want us to wrestle over it. God wants us to get it right. See, so many times we argue, we get aggravated, we get angry, we get to wanting attention. And then a lot of times we think, you know, well, if God won't answer my prayer, I'll solve it on my own. Amen. That's right. You know, I'm amazed, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm learning a lot of pastoring. Amen. I'm learning a lot in a few days. Amen. I mean, I begin to learn some things, and I found out that a lot of times people, the things don't go the way they want them to go. And so they think then that since God won't grant that prayer, they think then that they can change it. Oh, if we get enough people on our side, we'll get it changed ourselves. Just wrestling just keeps taking us downhill. Wrestling sometimes will continue to bring about problems. God don't want us to wrestle. God don't want us arguing with him. God don't want us to argue and get to the place of just getting bitter. Getting to the place of just getting... You know why some people are just bitter Christians? Things ain't went their way. And instead of admitting I'm wrong, they still think God's wrong. Instead of admitting God, they're the ones in the wrong, they think God's done them wrong. They won't admit it to you. That's really what's in here. They think, oh, I've been done wrong. I've had a wrong share. Listen, Jacob could have said, oh, I've been done wrong, and he'd have been justified in saying that. But had come to a place to realize, in a time of wrestling, listen, I've got to get some things right. Listen, instead of arguing, instead of wrestling, number one, we need to admit he knows best. Sometimes when we face problems in the life, the best thing you and I could do is admit he knows what's best. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah real quickly. Isaiah chapter 55. I want to read a verse of scripture to you this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. I know this is probably weird for a homecoming message, but God's laid this on my heart, and I feel like this is 100% what God wants. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to read something with me. There may be some of you sitting here, you're wrestling. What in the world's going on? You're wrestling, well, why in the world is this going on? Why is this happening? But I want to show you something. I want to show you something real quick. Isaiah 55, I want you to look at verse number 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And who's saying this? Saith the Lord. See, sometimes what we think ain't what God's thinking. What our human minds can fathom, it's not what God thinks. Aren't you glad today everything ain't worked out the way you wanted it to work out? Aren't you glad today that everything's not went the way your human mind thought it should go? Aren't you glad that God's ways and God's thoughts are much higher and mightier than yours? Verse 9 said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Aren't you glad God knows what's best through whatever struggle, through whatever sin, through whatever situation, through whatever you face, God knows best. And I like that old song. It says things look different from the shepherd's point of view. Yeah. See, God knows what's best. Yes, sir. God knows exactly what you and I need. God knows what you and I can handle. God knows what you and I what he's trying to do in your and my life. But a lot of times we don't like it. A lot of times we just are not to the place of saying, God, I'm okay with it. But number one, we need to admit he knows best. Number two, let me say this. We need to agree with his will. You say, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying this morning. It'd be good for some of us every once in a while to just bow our knee and say, God, I trust you. Very simple. I know you say, well, that's so simple, but there's truth behind it. You and I, it would do us good every once in a while to bow our knee and say, God, I don't understand, but I don't have to. I trust you. Has he not proven faithful time and time again? Has he not always kept his promises? Has he not always done exactly what he said he would do? He's worthy of trust this morning. He's worthy of you and I giving him praise. He's worthy of you and I just saying, God, I trust you. I don't understand. I don't have to understand. I don't have to know all the details. But God, I trust you this morning with whatever you're doing. There may be some of you this morning, you've got a child that's astray. You've got something going on in your family. You may have a child that's unsaved. You're about losing hope on them. I want to say, you come a place, quit wrestling. Just trust God. Maybe this morning you're dealing with a problem in your family and you say, there's no way. I don't understand, God. I've tried to live right. I've tried to raise my children right. Things keep going astray. Just admit he knows best. Tell him you trust him this morning. Listen, he's worthy of trust this morning. He is the great I am this morning. He is the one this morning that can calm the raging sea and storm in your life. But you know what? He's not really worried about the sea and the storm. He's worried about you. He's not really worried about calming the sea and the storm so much this morning. He's worried about you this morning, just trusting him. See, it wasn't all about the storm and the sea to them disciples. They had their mind on the problem, but he wanted them to have their mind on the solution, which was Jesus. See, so many times we get our mind on the wind and the sea and the storm when God wants us to just realize we could trust him. We could trust him. He's worthy of trust this morning. We need to admit, number one, he knows what's best. Number two, we need to agree with his will. And number three, let me say, we need to abandon our wants. You say, what do you mean? Well, James chapter 4, verse 7 said, to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil. You know what truly submission to God is? It's saying, it doesn't matter what I want, whatever you want, Lord. That's true submission. True submission is coming to the place of saying, God, it's not about me. It's about you. That's what being a living sacrifice is. That's what being crucified with Christ is. That's what's coming to the place of saying, God, it's not about me. Whatever you want with my life, if it's a storm, if it's a situation, if it's a problem, I'm surrendering. Whatever you want, I'm submitted to you because you know what's best in my life and I trust you. When's the last time you and I just said, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm a candidate for it. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm tired of wrestling. I'm tired of going through things. I'm tired of being stubborn as an old mule. I'm tired of bucking and fighting and wrestling. And I'm just going to submit to what you want. That'd do us good, you know. That'd do us all good. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you this morning. There's times in my ministry when I didn't like what was going on. Amen. There's times in my ministry, and I don't just say my ministry. There's been times in my life in general, I didn't like what was going on. I didn't like what God was doing. I knew what God was doing, and I knew what God wanted to do in my life, and I kept trying to buck it, kept trying to wrestle with it. And you know what? I wasn't getting the blessing I needed. I wasn't doing any good in my life. And I want to show you something real quickly. I know the context of these scriptures, but I want to give you three things that'll happen if you wrestle with God in the context of Genesis 32. Number one, let me say, we will never win. You and I, we wrestle with God. A lot of times we think, oh, I'll win eventually. If I get mad and throw in the towel, God will eventually do it my way. No. God, listen, you'll never win. You look at this story right here, just with Jacob and God and the wrestling here during the night. You say, well, who won? Well, who walked away with a halted leg? Who walked away injured? It wasn't God. It was Jacob. You say, what are you trying to say this morning? You and I are not going to win. We fight with God. You and I won't win when we wrestle against what God wants to do. Listen, I'm going to just say this. When God's got a direction and when God's got a plan with a church, you better go with it because you won't win. Listen, whatever God's trying to do in your life, you're not going to win until you submit. You're not going to win it. You're not going to win the fight. Listen, just say, okay, God, I'm surrendering. I'm submitting. You know what's best. Number one, we will never win. But number two, I want to say this. When we get to wrestling with God, number one, number two, we'll have some wounds. Amen. Think about this. Jacob here, he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't quit wrestling. God had to touch the hollow of his thigh. God, all of a sudden here, Jacob, he had a wound. Bible said in verse number 31 here, as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. Listen, he walked away with wounds after that night of wrestling. See, you and I, a lot of times we keep wrestling with God. The next thing you know, we're wounded. Next thing you know, boy, we all of a sudden, not only are we wounded, but all of a sudden we begin to get weak. And I don't mean weak in the aspect of just something. I'm talking about we begin to get a weak Christian. All of a sudden, we begin to get weak after we've wrestled with God. All of a sudden, you and I, we'll begin to go downhill. All of a sudden, we'll begin to get wounds and we begin to get weak as a Christian because instead of saying, God, whatever you want, we just keep wrestling. You'll never grow to be a spiritually mature Christian if you're wrestling with God. Never grow to be what God wants you to be as long as you're wrestling with what He wants in your life. And I don't know why this morning God had me to preach this. I don't know exactly what in the world you're dealing with because I don't even know a lot of you this morning. But I want to say this morning. The best thing I ever done and the best thing you can do is to just come to the place and say, God, I don't have to know. Don't have to understand, but I trust you. You know what's best. You are the God that created the heaven and the earth. And this morning, He knows what's best. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. The Lord knows hearts this morning. The Lord no doubt is dealing with people in this congregation. If you're wrestling with something this morning, listen, it'd be a good time just to get it settled. It'd be a good time just to make up your mind, you know what? I'm tired of my prayer life being just arguing with God. I'm tired of my prayer life just being a time of just worried about what I want. Lord, I want what you want this morning. I want to get aside what I want. God, what do you want with my life? Whatever you're trying to do, don't have to understand it, but I just want to admit you know what's best. Agree with His will. Abandon what you want this morning. Allow God to have His way in your life this morning. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, maybe a storm, maybe salvation, maybe serving God in some way, just yield to what He wants you to do this morning. Pastor.